Hello, and welcome to the Panda Podcast, a new series brought to you by Panda Health, where we explore the power of digital transformation in healthcare. I'm David Harvey, CEO at Panda Health. At Panda, we eat, breathe, and sleep digital health. And we started this podcast to discuss the latest innovations and insights hospital leaders should be watching. Today, we're joined by Florian Otto, CEO of Cedar. In this episode, we'll discuss the value and importance of patient financial engagement solutions. Well, listen, we really appreciate you joining for our Panda Podcast.
Totally. I heard it's number one.
We'll see how it goes. Well, I'd love for you, if you don't mind, just to take 2 or 3 minutes for our audience just to tell them who you are and a little bit about Cedar.
Sure, happy to do that. So Florence, my name is co-founder and CEO of Cedar. As you can probably hear from my accent, I'm from Germany originally. And then studied medicine and dentistry, was a maxillofacial surgeon for some time, did my PhD, so it was a pretty academic career. And then after graduation, I joined McKinsey and worked there in healthcare consulting for a few years, moved to Brazil. Then started a company in Brazil, same business model as Groupon. And Groupon then bought the business, and I became CEO of Groupon Brazil, and then joined ZocDoc in 2012. Was there for 3 years, and then in early 2016 started Cedar. And kind of in a nutshell, what Cedar is doing, so started the company because my wife had a really bad billing experience in New York. So she couldn't understand the bill. She got multiple bills for the same visit reason and was really frustrated by it. And then she just totally lost trust in this healthcare system. And I basically took a step back and say, okay, why is it so easy to interact with other industries and so difficult to engage with the healthcare provider to just literally pay the bill? And then came up with a solution that makes this financial experience easier.
I love that personal connection to your mission. And you know a little bit about my background from Athena Health. So I've lived in the revenue cycle industry for a while, and some of the products that I brought to Athena were about consumer engagement in the financial space. So I love the mission that you're on. I love what Cedar's doing. Your personal background's amazing. But elaborate a little bit about the industry generally in healthcare. You know, what it's needing from more progressive consumer-facing financial tools.
I mean a lot. It depends on how much time you have in this session, but do one quick overview, and then, of course, with regards to the finance piece. So I think healthcare basically is where enterprise software was probably 20 or 30 years ago. So I think just when was it, literally maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago, the hospital started implementing the EHRs, which are basically the system of record. So kind of like a database, like in travel, you have Sabre and Amadeus, right? They work well to really have all of the data. Their on-premise systems update once a quarter, once a year. What healthcare doesn't really have is a system of engagement. So basically in travel, you have booking.com, you have Expedia, you have Kayak, and so on. And in healthcare, the EHRs try basically to solve also the engagement problem, which is usually not possible just because of the technology architecture of the product, that they don't update enough, and just being this consumer friendliness and consumer focus. So that's, I think, the macro perspective on what is lacking in healthcare.
Well, I don't know how often you use that comparison of a system of record versus a system of engagement, but I love the way that rattled off your tongue, and it really resonates with me. And I know it will with consumers at large too. So, talk a little bit about the impact you're trying to make on a consumer's life. I know there's, recently I've been more legislation for consumers around the No Surprise Act, and just what are you trying to solve to make the consumer experience better in what oftentimes is one of their worst moments in life when they're having to deal with the U.S. healthcare system?
Yeah, it's a good question. And overall, I would say, I mean, the consumer doesn't expect anything else on the engagement side from the healthcare than from anywhere else in their touch point. So they want to have an experience that is somehow transparent, that is convenient, that is immediate, right? And that is personalized. That's exactly right. On what they're having when they hail their Uber, when they shop on Amazon, that's when they book their trip, also on one of these OTAs. And that's exactly what they expect also from healthcare. The big problem is that they don't really get that. So for example, it is very difficult to engage with these systems. Usually they don't know how much a procedure costs before the visit. Then paying, in most of the cases, patients want to pay their bill. But when they don't understand it, or they cannot pay for it, or it's not convenient, then of course they won't pay. And there's a very interesting stat that in the US, I think there's something like 50 million people that have a bad credit score because of medical debt, and half of them have otherwise a clean credit score, and the median outstanding balance is only $200. So if you have a clean credit score and $200, this is more of an engagement problem than ability to pay problem.
I love that response. So we've talked a little bit about kind of the healthcare industry at large. We talked a little bit about the consumers' needs in the marketplace, but the provider organizations themselves are facing very difficult challenges today. And 2022 was maybe one of the worst years on record for financial and operational performance by health systems in the United States. In 2023, in the Healthcare IT Today 2023 predictions that you made, you referenced that labor issues will continue to be a big obstacle for healthcare providers. We certainly hear the same from the health systems that are on our marketplace, and they're trying to find ways to do more with less, to improve operational performance, to retain more market share. But tell us a little bit, about what you meant by those comments, and how does CEDAR help a healthcare organization kind of overcome some of these major challenges that they're facing today?
Yeah, totally well said that these healthcare systems really are in a problem in terms of staffing and in terms of cost as well, right? Because they're somehow, of course, linked. So I think what is the clear understanding that there's no way to gain more productivity with just working harder in the healthcare space. Everybody is really at their limits, and you see that also when you do surveys. The only way to really, I think, break this vicious cycle of decrease in margin means you can staff fewer people. Fewer people means people need to work harder, have more stress. That leads to more people resigning and to a smaller team as well. So you need to break this cycle. How can you break this cycle? Only with technology. Because technology enables, first of all, an increase in productivity that you don't have with just manual labor. And then the second is technology helps the staff get rid of a lot of the tasks that they don't really like to do that cause the burnout. And that is exactly where CEDAR is helping as well. So for example, our pre-visit functionality, where you have all the check-in experience, where patients literally can come to the doctor and have all of the administrative parts being taken care of. The only thing they need to do is really getting healthy again and have the medical conversation. And then after the visit, of course, as well. Nobody really likes to call a patient and ask them for updating the insurance information or to pay the estimate already or to pay the bill after the visit, or to explain an EOB that the provider didn't send.
That's for sure. Probably no one more so than the staff themselves at the hospital. So to the extent that CEDAR can lighten the burden on staff and help them do more with less and centralize work and automate work through technology, I think you'll win over even more fans than you already have in the healthcare space. And hopefully help them turn 2023 into a much better performance year than 2022 was, and be a part of the solution, to dig them out of the financial hole that many health systems find themselves in today. One of the things that, we hear often is that, health systems are either hamstrung a little bit or prohibited by investing even more in technology because they've already spent hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, on that system of record that you referenced earlier, their core EHR. And, you know, I worked at Athena Health. We sold EHRs, and we thought we were part of the solution in many ways, but sometimes perhaps we are part of the problem because there's been such a huge investment in that core system of record that health systems don't necessarily feel they have the budgets or the latitude to spend even more for solutions on top of that system of record. But I love the way you talk about a system of engagement and how more investment is needed to fill some of the gaps that aren't covered by the EHRs in the marketplace. But could you tell us a little bit about how you and your team at Cedar think about that? How you complement the system of record, where the EHRs today have gaps that they just don't solve for, which, you know, makes for a beautiful fit for products like yours to supplement what's happening in the EHR.
Yeah, you're totally right, of course, that it's a huge, usually multi-hundred million dollar or billion dollar investment in the EHRs. And I think the EHRs in general are a really good investment, and I'm not challenging that at all. It makes total sense to have an EHR. The only thing that needs to be clear, an EHR is not solving every single problem on the technology side for a healthcare system, period. That's the case. And you see this, for example, I mean, most of the EHRs, they have somehow a patient portal. When you look at adoption rates, they're actually then pretty low. So that means the patients, they might set up an account, but afterwards the engagement rates are pretty low. So how basically Cedar is helping and what is important in these markets is the following. I think right now when you partner with the healthcare system as a supplementary solution that sits, for example, on top of the EHR, you cannot have a solution that just costs money and doesn't have a clear ROI. That doesn't work, and it should not work. I think health systems, they're smart enough to literally say, we are not adopting any new solution unless there's a clear ROI, which means higher patient satisfaction, maybe higher revenue, or lower cost. It's literally these three things that really matter. And then, of course, some smaller things like acceleration of the cash flow might be nice as well. Differentiation in the marketplace might be nice as well. But it's very, very important to have a clear ROI. So that's the reason why we structured also pricing and how we do it with healthcare systems, that there's no investment necessary for implementing Cedar, but we basically only get paid if we also increase the performance and have a positive ROI. So we guarantee this positive ROI.
I love the fact that you're going at risk for your performance like that. I think that's a brilliant pricing model. I wish more EHRs could find a way to do that, but I love that you're doing it. Do you foresee the EHR industry catching up with solutions like Cedar's, or is that, you know, years away, a decade away, or it'll never happen? What's your thought on the EHR as a future competitor for the hyper-precise work that you do around patient financial engagement?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's actually a very different business. So imagine right now an EHR basically is the infrastructure for a certain entity. And what Cedar is doing, we are basically having a product connected to a network. So what does that basically mean? Very often you have the hospital, for example, is on, let's call it an Epic or a Cerner, and then the physician group might be on Athena or NextGen. There will never be the integration of those two unless it's from third party, because these EHR probably will not really engage with each other. Then comes the next level of integration is with the insurance companies. We acquired a company called UDA Health a year and a half ago. So with that together, we can layer payer information on top of the bill. That's also something with an EHR not really possible. And then the third is integration with other ecosystem providers, like, for example, HSA, FSA payments. So we launched our first customer, Highmark and AHN, that was last year, and really see extremely good results. And why is that? Because we don't think the system really will work if you are centric on a certain IT system or provider. You need to be patient-centric. And you need to see on where are the touch points for the patient and unify that together. So in my opinion, it's just a very different business that they are in. And that doesn't mean right now, if you have something like a Kayak or Booking, that Sabre or Amadeus are not worthless. or in the enterprise space, you still have Oracle and SAP being the backbone of the enterprise, but you have PeopleSoft, you have Salesforce, and you have a lot of other accounting tools and so on that sit on top of it.
Excellent point. So we've touched on the consumer, we've touched on the provider organizations, touched on a little bit about the competitive nature of EHRs or lack thereof. You just talked about your acquisition of UDA and how that brings the payer space into the market. Maybe one of the only kind of big players in healthcare that we haven't touched base on yet is the investment community. Following JP Morgan, what is your sense of the investment community's excitement in digital health?
Yeah, so I think overall, nothing really changed. Everybody is excited about good companies delivering value and having product market fit. That's also still the case. Of course, right now, because of the increase in interest rates, investors in general are much more cautious to do any investments. What basically I think right now investors are looking for is companies that have a very clear business model, that have high margin, that don't burn too much money, that are not that capital intensive. And of course have also, I think, somehow a structure where they know, okay, this company is really also still having an important position 5 or 10 years out. Because that's usually when the real value for an investor gets generated. It's not next year or 2 years, but it's literally 8 to 10 years out.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. And, you know, certainly, healthcare moves slower than most industries. So taking a longer view of value and return on investment is I think, prudent for investors in this space. And of course, you talked about the return on investment for provider organizations in the products and technologies that they choose. Kind of wrapping things up, we did see that Cedar had partnered recently with the Health Management Academy to launch the Consumer Collab to help health systems advance their consumer strategies. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how Panda potentially could help?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's basically one of the ideas is that we want to partner together with through the Health Management Academy with consumers to really understand what is important for them. And enable them not to design the consumer strategy, but literally on how can we enable them to achieve the strategy. That is a very important distinction. We don't believe that it's good for any outside company to prescribe to a healthcare system, as some EHRs actually do. They literally say, this is how you should run your business. And that is, in my opinion, completely wrong. But educating the provider team, we're very talented people, helping them on how to do the strategy and telling them what is available, what is in the market, is of course something that is great. On how of course Panda could help, I think, it is definitely you hear a lot from clients on what is important to them. And I think that is very helpful also for this consumer collab. So we want to understand from clients what is on top of their mind, what do they need right now in order to achieve their mission. And that is one thing we, of course, I think we can work together.
Yeah, I think we're highly aligned on that point. We take our impartiality very seriously. So we love to promote categories of solutions that solve business problems, move metrics that are important to the health of a provider organization or health system, but we certainly stop short of picking a winner or dictating to a health system what strategy they should pursue. But we try to narrow the field for them and then make the process of executing a strategy that they choose to execute as frictionless as we possibly can. So we take our impartiality very seriously, just like it sounds like you and the HMA have chosen to do. But we both know that removing friction from what is a very bureaucratic industry and a slow-to-change industry is much needed. And if we can take a little bit of the friction out of the equation and get health systems to execute their strategy, you know, safely, economically, and at speed, we will have done our job as a marketplace. And we're tickled that Cedar is a part of that marketplace. We love promoting the patient financial engagement category. It's an area that's ripe for innovation, and you're certainly one of the leaders in that space. And we love the fact that you're on the Panda Marketplace, and I've really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thanks a lot for having me, David. Really appreciate it.
Okay, Florian, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to today's episode. For questions or comments, please email us at growth@panda.health. You can also learn more about Panda Health and our partners at panda.health. We welcome you to follow us on LinkedIn and stay tuned for future episodes.